This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're continuing our conversation about the San Antonio Planning Commission and how some are calling for a reform of how the members are selected. The Planning Commission is an advisory body to the City Council when dealing with issues of growth and development in the city. The Commission also serves as the final authority when it comes to subdivision plats for the city and the extraterritorial jurisdiction. There is a concern that presently the 9 voting members of the commission are overwhelmingly from the north side and that too many members have direct connections to the development industry, and an effort to reform the commission is now being considered. Earlier today, I spoke with Mayor Ivy Taylor about the issue. Some people have concerns about how the planning commission is, how it's selected, the members are selected, and whether or not that is something that could or should change. So can you talk about where you are on that?
Sure. Well, yes, my colleagues have brought forward some questions and concerns, and I certainly want to thoughtfully engage in a discussion about how we can get the best outcomes from our planning commission. I do think it's important, however, for us to keep in mind the goals and purpose of our planning commission, and I think that the way it was structured, you know, with everyone being at large, is a result of the fact that their purpose is to serve and represent the entire community. But I certainly welcome the opportunity to revisit where we are in 2016 and think about how we can better include a diversity of voices in the decisions that they make.
So observers look at the Planning Commission as it is today, and they see that it is heavily weighted towards members who live on the north side, and that there are quite a few people who are part of the development community on the Planning Commission, and they wonder if that is not serving the entire city as well as it could.
Well, I certainly would prefer to have representation from various quarters of the city, but that's a function of who applies to be on the Planning Commission. And I think this last go-around that we had reveals that there were several districts that were not represented in any way by the application. So we can't, pull out of the air representatives if the people from various sides of town have not applied. Now, as far as this, you know, the concern that it weighs too heavily in favor of development interests, I think that is also something, an area where we need to be cautious, but we also have to ensure that the people on the Planning Commission do have experience that is somehow germane, you know, where they can thoughtfully address and engage the issues. And I don't know if you know, I'm a former member of the Planning Commission. When I was on the Planning Commission, I lived in District 10. But as a planner, I certainly was interested. I'm not a technical planner or someone that's engaged on the technical side of development. I'm a community development planner who at the time was working for an affordable housing nonprofit. And so I definitely felt that I had a perspective to bring. And so I think part of it is just the work of ensuring that we get good application pools whenever there is a vacancy available.
Some council members, like Council Member Trevino, saying maybe we ought to take a look at having district appointees like we have for the Zoning Commission, which would provide at least a geographic distribution of who's on the Planning Commission. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I am, again, open to the conversation, though I will say that I think there was some method to the madness when the city leaders decided to have the Planning Commission be at large, and talked with some folks who have looked at this issue nationwide, and actually was a little bit surprised to learn that there aren't any other major cities, I've been told, that appoint planning commissioners based on council district, with the concern being that appointment by district could encourage parochialism and that it's important to have a body that represents the entire community. But I would anticipate that these would be points that would come up in any discussion that we would have in considering any changes that could be made.
Is there a timeline for that discussion?
The memo that Councilman Trevino brought forward is going to the Governance Committee on December 7th, and then we'll decide how to advance the conversation.
We could decide that we like the Planning Commission as it is, and it's going to stay that way, or the Council could decide otherwise.
Well, let me clarify here. The Charter dictates the current structure, and so what the Governance Committee could decide is to refer it to the Charter Commission. It would require a vote of the people, not a vote of the council, in order to make that change. Where the council has discretion is that there was another suggestion that was made. Instead of making appointments by district, that we might apply certain categories to members of the commission, like, say, for example, that we wanted to have at least one architect or at least one social worker or one engineer. That is at the council's discretion.
Cool. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the charter doesn't necessarily say that the members of the planning commission have to be appointed at large. It just says that the commission members need to make an effort to represent the geographic diversity of the city. So you could change the way that the commission is put together without violating the charter, right?
Well, up until now, I've been advised that we'll require a charter change in order for us to require by district representation.
Well, Mayor Taylor, I want to thank you so much. I appreciate you giving us a chance to hear from you on this issue. When we come back from this quick break, we'll hear from members of the Planning Commission and open up the phones that you can call in. The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the Planning Commission, a powerful advisory board to the City Council, but also able to make some decisions on their own about development. We just heard from Mayor Ivy Taylor about her concerns about calls for reform for the commission that could bring more voices from across the city. We're now joined by the chair of the Planning Commission, Marcelo Martinez. He's also a local architect. Andrea Rodriguez is also a member of the Planning Commission, and she is an SAISD bond communication manager and a columnist for the San Antonio Business Journal. And also with us is Francine Romero. She is Associate Dean for the College of Public Policy at UTSA and the current chair of the city's Zoning Commission and a former planning commissioner. And we invite you into our conversation as we talk about what the Planning Commission does and how they are answerable to the people of San Antonio. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. You could also email questions and comments to the source at tpr.org and tweet us at tprsource. So, Marcelo, welcome. Thanks for coming up here. Appreciate it. It's great to see you again. And so tell me, what do you think people in San Antonio need to understand about the Planning Commission?
Well, the first thing I would say is I might change the adjective from powerful. That might not have been the one I selected. Our powers are pretty well defined and in case. There are cases we have discretion, but the vast majority of cases that come in front of us, if a plat meets state law, we actually have no choice but to approve it. If we were to decide to disapprove it, and these are cases where the room is full of passionate people, and oftentimes we on the other side of the table agree with the citizens and are not in favor of the item in front of us for various other reasons, but it meets state law, it's codified. We have no choice but to approve it. And then if we said, you know what, forget it, we're not going to approve it. Well, the developer can do a couple things, the easiest perhaps being wait 30 days, it approves anyway, and he moves on. Or and he has a chance to, you know, sue the city. So I don't know that I want to expose the city to a lawsuit, you know.
So you're saying that the Planning Commission doesn't have this carte blanche to do whatever they want when it comes to, there's a big field out in this very nice part of, you know, so it would be, it could make a great shopping mall, make a great apartment complex. Someone bought it, and that's what they want to do with it. But the neighbors say, we don't want the traffic. We don't want all that headaches. Don't approve this change here, Marcelo. And you say, my hands are tied.
Yeah, I'm not. We're not Tony Stark, where we can buy a building and change its zoning mid-flight. You know, so the land has restrictions tied to it. It's the owner has rights, property rights, very important in Texas. And then we have a UDC. The rules of development are governed by the Unified Development Code. If their project meets the UDC 100%, the owner has the right to expect he can do his project because it's all written down.
And then the neighbors are saying, Planning Commission, why don't you guys do what we want you to do?
Well, I empathize. I've gritted my teeth several times on several votes, and so I definitely do empathize with the neighbors.
So, Andrea Rodriguez, you've been a member of the Planning Commission for and Andy Rodriguez, thank you so much. Member of the, you've been there for a long time. How long you've been on the commission?
I have, David. I've been there for 8 years, and it's been a wonderful experience. As you know, Marcelo and I sit together every meeting, and we get yelled at. But the thing is, it's about civic discourse. It's about, you know, being able to express your rights as a citizen. But to echo what Marcelo had said, I really think that we could improve this idea of civic discourse if there were more understanding and better education. But, you know, by no means do we want folks to come and to express their opinions and to leave disappointed and disgruntled. And I heard someone on the last show say, you know, the system's rigged. And it's like, no, it's not. It's not. They're just rules and laws. And I think once you know your way around, I think it makes you more effective as a citizen advocate, as well as, you know, hopefully getting your voice across. But it's been a wonderful experience, and I'm only rolling off because I feel that somebody else should have a turn at it. But it's overall, it's been a wonderful experience.
But you've had this front row seat to San Antonio's explosive growth. Mm-hmm. How have things changed as far as the types of cases that are coming, that have come to the commission over the past few years? Is it getting more cases, more money, more change coming?
Well, you know, it's interesting, I think, with the way our city's growing. We don't grow up, we grow out kind of like a fried egg. And so with issues such as annexation and all of these, you know, our boundaries keep expanding. I mean, so of course there's more development. But the thing is, you have to have proper growth. You have to look at it from a greater good, what's best for the entire city. And to get on to the point of, you know, single-member districts, although I applaud the thought that it has, that the mission, it really, you have to think about it as an entire city. I live in work in District 1, but my job is to look out for the entire city. I mean, what we do as a recommending body is to make sure that our city, San Antonio, grows in the right way for everyone.
But you said before we went on the air that you were seeing an acceleration in what's going on at the
Absolutely.
Planning Commission.
Absolutely, yes, because as you can tell, if you drive around the city, more and more subdivisions, more shopping centers, more just buildings. You know, we don't have the rolling prairies and plains like we did 10 years ago. So absolutely, there's been a lot more cases, a lot more development.
And Francine Romero, you teach this stuff. This is what you over at UTSA and former students. Andy's one of your former students. And Ben, you say that a single member district, while maybe it sounds good for appointees for the Planning Commission, but it's not actually in practice a good way to go?
Well, I think there are better ways to go to get at what we want to achieve. I think one of the most important things we can think about when we initiate a policy is what exactly is the problem and where do we want to end up? And is this policy the perfect mechanism to get there? And I think there are better ways than the single member district. One of the things we were talking about is in some states, one of the most innovative ways you can approach planning is to do it on a regional basis. That makes more sense. That's not really possible in Texas. But when you think about it, instead of moving towards a more regional basis, we're actually taking a step backwards with single member districts, saying planning will be the responsibility of people who represent just one district, and you really lose that bigger picture.
I mean, is that because when you have single member districts that you defer to the person who represents that district in making the call and what to do with a particular case?
That's a tradition of deferring to the person from that district, so that can happen. I think that tradition is being broken sometimes, so that could be the other situation, is that the person from that district would vote with the citizens who are maybe opposed to something, but the rest of the commission would go against them. So you would still have that same frustration. We have that a lot on zoning commission, that we don't always defer to that commissioner.
Okay, so but what is wrong with having single member appointees than with if you don't have to follow that particular style of working on these cases, that everyone is going to vote on it across the board. It's not just that one individual, and they can all look out for the needs for the entire city's planning.
Well, because oftentimes there is deference. I'm just saying sometimes there's not deference, but there oftentimes is, and that could be a problem. But I just think it's unnecessarily restricting to have that system when you could move to a system where we simply try and get a better perspective from the neighborhoods, from the sectors of the city. What a lot of cities do, what Los Angeles does, what Phoenix does, what Philadelphia is moving to, is having kind of a sub-planning committee that advises the planning commission. And those are people who actually do represent particular neighborhoods or particular sectors, and they are tasked with making a very formal recommendation to planning commission. So for example, if there's a proposed amendment to a neighborhood plan, the team that represents that area, it might not just be that neighborhood, but that area, would study that, and they would make their recommendation to Planning Commission. And that way you have that very strong group of experts who are tied to the community, and Planning Commission would be hearing from them.
Okay, I'm going to go to the phone lines. We have a caller here. The number is 210-614-8980. George has called in. George, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Now, I tuned in kind of late. Did y'all discuss the history of poor planning for road right-of-ways in San Antonio? I've been told by old-timers that the south side used to fight against any kind of planning for adequate rights-of-way on the north side because they didn't want to see growth northwards. But now the children from the south side are living in the north side and complaining about the San Antonio doesn't ever plan for adequate transportation.
Okay, George, interesting perspective. And I don't really remember it being that way as a north versus south as far as why the development or the planning for the San Antonio is not as good as it should be. But maybe you can, Francine, explain why does it seem like, didn't anyone plan that we needed to have an interchange here between these two highways?
I think I would agree with the caller that San Antonio's history of planning has been extremely weak. It wasn't until this recent effort that we have really put an effort into planning. You can either try and plan and put together a master plan that really shapes and guides development. Not many cities are very successful with that. Again, the property rights laws in Texas really preclude a lot of effort into that. In most cities, planning is just sort of the residual after all the groups kind of fight it out. And you see so many examples of that in our city, from where UTSA is located to not having a medical school, just all kinds of things. If you go back and read the stories of how this happened, it wasn't because planners sat down and decided this is how it would happen. It was because different interests fought it out. And I don't know exactly what George is referring to.
It was because land got donated at certain locations.
Yeah. Right. And so, yeah, it becomes an opportunity for something to be there. So to get really good planning in a city this size, it's extremely difficult. And we're there now. But, yeah, the history is not very strong.
So, Marcelo, when you say we have to follow the law, and if they bring their case, a developer brings their case to the Planning Commission, and it complies with the law, then you have to pass it, then what do you need a Planning Commission for?
Well, there are cases where we do have discretion. And one thing I wanted to kind of tag on there, as a planning commission, we need to think long term. It's our charge to think long term and globally or citywide. And we actually have an annual retreat, and I always try and stress to the commissioners, the new ones, this is what we do. This particular case, you feel this way and understand this, and the room is saying this. It's important to think of the whole city. I don't necessarily think that'll go away with single member district appointees, but I do think the commission needs to think globally, because we're the body that does that. If you apply for a building permit, you apply for this, that's just processing, meet the code, move on. Where is the body that says, wait a minute, is this the right thing for the city? Is this the right thing we should be doing? If we don't sit back and take that second look with the bigger picture, who's going to do it?
So, Andy, we're seeing some frustration from people in San Antonio and neighborhoods. Is it just because San Antonio is growing so fast that they're looking for someone to sort of express their frustration to? And it says, well, Planning Commission, that sounds pretty good. Let's blame them. Is it just, but people need to know more of the story?
It's funny. I think there is a lot of frustration with a lot of things these days. We have kind of an isolationist attitude, I think, across the globe. But sometimes it translates back into when you're looking in your own backyard, I can't control the world, but I want to control my own neighborhood. And so I think that frustration kind of bubbles up at Planning Commission. So you're coming expecting a solution or at least to be heard. And we try so hard to hear. But again, as Marcella said, we have to follow the rules and regulations. But, to Francine's point, I want to just point out, I think we have a very cohesive Planning Commission. And I think in part because we don't always agree, but we are able to work together as a team and looking out for the greater good of the community. I live in District 1. I work in District 1. If I was a single member appointee, then I would be looking out for District 1. But I'm one of the planning commissioners that voted to keep the sustainability component in the comprehensive plan. That's not my district, but that was important to me, and that's important to our community. So, again, I think, it's easy to point fingers and to have your frustration, it's the way to vocalize it. But I do think, again, trying to look together for the greater good is really, really important today more than ever.
But Francine, people look at the Planning Commission components, the people who are on it now, and they say, oh, all of them but one live on the north side. And then almost everybody has some sort of connection to the development industry, and how do we explain that to people? Is this an appearance and we say, never mind the man behind the curtain? Mm-hmm. What do we do?
Well, that is true. Austin has a rule that no more than one third of their planning commissioners can be directly or indirectly connected to the development industry. I don't think that's necessarily good. I mean, you do need some of that expertise. There are cases that don't involve neighborhood plans and that where the Planning Commission does have discretion on variances and things that can be very technical about drainage and things like that. So you do need some experts on there. As far as being on the north side, I think Andy's right that people live someplace, but they are connected with the city in a lot of other ways too. Now, I do think the city can do a much better job of getting geographic diversity.
Okay, and that's something to work towards, but without having to go to single member appointees. I want to thank our guests, Francine Romero, Andy Rodriguez, and Marcelo Martinez. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. More Source when we come back from the NPR News Break. Stay tuned.